Welcome back, everybody. It's time again for the Pedego Podcast. Talking to the entrepreneurs, making the revolution, the e-bike revolution happen, and the love stories of those just riding along. And today, well, we got a little bit of both. We've got some, we got a guy that loves this product, that's for sure, and loves the whole e-bike movement. Welcome, Rich Bastian. You've got an amazing story here. You've got just a couple of stores, I think, here. How many are you up to now? You're in New Jersey somewhere here.
We have three in Jersey, in Cape May, New Jersey, Ocean City, New Jersey, which are stores on the Jersey Shore, Lambertville, New Jersey, which is a historic town up in more central New Jersey. And we also have Lewis, Delaware, and Manayunk, which is in Philadelphia. We have five stores up and running.
Up and running, and the aspiration, are we pushing you in a direction you don't want to go? But I'm told that you want to do 10. Is that true?
That's the word. That is the word. I'm digesting the five. I mean, we already have six in the works in Madison, New Jersey, so train hasn't stopped rolling down the track.
The bike rolling down the trail here. Maybe we'll use the bike analogy here. The bike's still moving forward.
Yeah, that's better. Thank you. Madison will be open up in September. And Wildwood should be opened up here in the next couple months. So we'll have seven stores and then our eyes on a few other down the road.
So share the journey. How did you discover Pedego e-bike? How did you discover e-bikes at all? Were you in the bike business before?
No, I've never been into any. I've owned several businesses with my brother over the last 25 years.
What kinds of businesses? Just give us some, insurance agencies, paint stores. What did you own here?
Right. Kind of ran the gamut. We started, my brother and I started a plastic recycling company.
Of course.
Which makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, the obvious connection.
and then this next connection will really connect the dots. We then had a warehouse and distribution company that focused on the distribution of bananas and pineapple out of the port of Wilmington, Delaware, which most people don't realize is the largest port in the country for the import of bananas and pineapples.
Had no idea that, but glad we've learned that this morning. Or so, from recycling to importing bananas. Okay, so far I'm not seeing the bikes in this journey here.
Yeah, and there's no direct connection on this one. I had then managed produce distribution company for 5 years, actually owned by a buddy of mine who was very sick and asked me to run his business while he was going through treatments. And I retired from that in February of last year, really kind of not with any idea what I wanted to do. I just wanted to take a little bit of a breather. My wife was kind of adamant on me not starting another business, but then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And the reality of me getting just a job at that point was very remote. So I started looking into franchises. I had entertained the thoughts of opening up a franchise that specialized in like puff pastries, an athletic training facility, a health food facility, and just by sheer coincidence, noticed something about Pedego online. I reached out to Cynthia Newcomb, their director of business development, and we had a great discussion. Cynthia went to high school in Delaware, where I did.
Ah, there's the connection. Now I finally found a connection here. Okay.
Yes. All right. She went to Bucknell. I went to Lehigh, which are rival schools. Her family used to live or used to own a house in Ocean City, New Jersey. And she lives obviously on the West Coast now at my corporate. But we hit it off right away. And she knew the Jersey Shore and felt like it would be a great.
Everybody does. We've seen the TV shows. I watched MTV, Jersey Shore.
No. That's not. No. South Jersey Shore. Don't categorize us in that.
Okay. All right.
In that craziness there. But I own a house down in a town called Stone Harbor, New Jersey, which is one of the southernmost tips of the Jersey Shore. And we found a place in Cape May, and we started up last July.
Is any of this near where Bruce Springsteen hung out and the Stone Pony and all that? I don't know Jersey that well.
That's the North Jersey.
That's the North Jersey. All right.
No, there's not that much famous down here in South Jersey.
But it's still a beach community. It would seem to be a natural for outdoor bikes for Pedego or any sort of electric bike. Were there other electric bike dealers in town, or are you one of the first or the few?
There's a ton of bike rentals down
I would
the Jersey
think so.
Shore, as you can imagine. But most of them are just beach cruisers, non-electric. There had been a few of the bike stores that had dabbled, I guess, and had a few in their showroom. We have certainly noticed that since we have opened up Pedego, that these bike stores that really only offered Beach Cruisers and stuff like that are now adding that to their repertoire.
Sure.
So
yeah, trying to catch up. One of the things that surprises me is, again, I'm just an average person here, following the journey, riding along here at what I think is really blossoming into something, a nationwide movement here of not just Pedego, that's certainly part of it. They've been an early driver of all this, but this whole electric bike, e-bike revolution itself here. And I'm stunned, tell me if this is true, at the number of regular bike stores, people who've been in the national bike business forever, who didn't see it coming. Or who didn't want to jump on board, either because they didn't get it or they didn't see what the fascination with an e-bike was, or maybe they're hardcore and they're doing 100-mile rides. Tons of people renting bikes, selling bikes for the Jersey Shore. That seems obvious. That seems a no-brainer. Why was it such a big leap for them to see electric bikes as a future?
I think there's two trains of thought there. Jersey Shore is a little different animal because you have such a limited window to really make your hay, so to speak.
When it's summer, it's summer. When it's winter, and never the twain shall meet. Exactly. When summer hits, you got to be outdoors for a couple months. Yeah.
Memorial Day to Labor Day is where you got to do 80% of your business. You're going to have a little bit when the book ends in beginning of May, April, September, October, but you have basically a 3-month window. That's an awfully calculated risk to be bringing a lot of electric bikes when a lot of these bike stores have been around forever. And they've got bikes, some of these things, like to look at the age of them. And, you know, they've been paid for time and five times over. So these guys are doing fine. It's a seasonal business. Where the difference after Labor Day, and most of these stores will stay open through September because there's still a pretty good amount of people down the beach. Come October 1st, these guys all shut their doors.
Yeah.
All these bikes are shut their doors, and they will open up again in May. We're open all year round. Now, we're not going to be open Monday through Sunday in the middle of December, January, but we're certainly going to be open on weekends by appointment. So, you know, you're making more of a commitment with an electric bike. These guys don't really want to do that. The other train of thought is, and this is not because of any knowledge that I have, but just something that's been transferred to me. These bike stores like Trek and Giant and Specialized, all these guys, you know, there's a like a badge of honor with being the cheaters. Now you're starting to get into.
You're not peddling. Come on. You got to push that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you don't walk into some of those stores, again, this is not from experience. This is just what I hear. If you don't walk in there wearing a Lycra and, you know, a top of the line helmet, they kind of look at you. You know, I would not be a good guy walking in there with gym shorts, you know, a little bit of a belly, and you know, looking like I just crawled out of bed. That's not
a real Jerseyite or whatever they call people from Jersey here. Well, let me tell you a quick story. I've never shared this one before, but years and years ago, way before I met electric bikes, I'm talking 15, 20 years ago, moved into Orange County with my family, young daughter and wife. There was a trail behind our house. It's Orange County. There's a bunch of these canyons and trails, and we happen to be next to one. Well, honey, you know, we're in our 50s. Let's go get a bike again. Wouldn't this be fun with the kid to go out and just ride on a bike? And two things, it wasn't as much fun as I thought it was. It was fun going down the canyon. It wasn't fun coming back up out of the canyon, and that killed it. But the other thing was the experience, just what you said. I went into a couple of bike stores here in Orange County, and I was treated like, get out of here, old man. I just wanted a bike. And they wanted to sell me this, you know, thing for a 100-mile ride, and it's a bunch of gearheads, and they're all into this. And I felt unwelcome. I really was shunned because I just wanted a bike. And, you know, I ended up going to Sears, just getting a bike. And I thought, wow, they missed a chance. I had the money. Money wasn't the problem. It was, I don't know anything about bikes. And they didn't want to teach me because I wasn't part of that little passionate in crowd that was into 100-mile excursions or whatever they do. Yeah.
Yep. That story doesn't surprise me.
So I think along comes e-bikes, and I need a little bit of help. I'm in my 60s. I wasn't in the 50s anymore here. And I could use a little assist, particularly coming back and helping me up and down the hills and all those other things here. and maybe my knees hurt a little more because I pushed them too hard when I was younger, and other sorts of things. I could use a little. I can still pedal it if I want, though, right? This isn't a motorcycle.
Right. Yeah, this you can get plenty of exercise in these.
Yeah. So, all right. So along comes this new thing, maybe for a new crowd, maybe for not the hardcore bicyclists that are into the long, cycling, whatever they call these things when they ride for 100 miles. I know they have names for all this stuff here. But the average people, particularly of a certain age as we get older and whatnot, this is a very appealing product for us. So who do you sell to? Is it just day trippers, or are these dedicated bike enthusiasts who are going to ride day in and day out, or week in and week out?
I mean, you get a little bit of a combination, but I think for the most part, if I was going to categorize what the predominant customer is somebody who is feeling the aches and pains. We get a bunch of people with hip replacements, knee replacements. Mm-hmm. Is not ready to throw in the towel, still wants to be active, still wants to get out there, explore the outside, not ready to live a sedentary life, and looks at this as an opportunity to stay out there. We get a ton of couples, a lot of husband and wives who this is an opportunity for them to do something together. The stories I love are the husband that comes in that says that his wife needs one of these bikes because she needs to keep up with them. And then about a month later, he's in for his bike because she's running, she's doing figure eights.
She's doing figure eights. This can't have this happen. Well, yeah, sounds like your story. If I'm told correctly, didn't you have both of your hips replaced? I don't know if we're supposed to reveal that or not, but...
2017, I get both hips replaced, two different operations. So for me, I wouldn't say I was an avid bike rider, but down the shore, it's hard not to be.
It's a beautiful day in the summer and the boardwalk and the beach and everything here. We got to get out. So this, you're preaching to the converted here. The customers you're describing is you.
It is. It is me. It's an easy discussion to have. I had a gentleman in today, 75. He had a hip replacement back at the end of January, and an old wrestling injury.
Yeah.
And he is determined to, not give up because he lives out here in Lewis and he wants to ride these state parks and there is some hills, and he just wants to keep going.
Tell me about your father's story. Somebody slipped me a little note, said your father was battling cancer and Pedigo allowed him to get out.
Yeah, that was kind of what sealed the deal for me as far as moving forward with Pedigo. My dad passed away in November.
Sorry to hear that.
But back when I bought my first bike, which was in April last year, I took it down the shore. My dad at the time wasn't doing great, but he was still getting around. We kind of knew that he was in the last stretch of his life.
Right.
Big bike rider, loved to ride bikes, hadn't been able to ride for a couple of years.
There you go.
I brought the bike to their house. My parents also owned a house in Stone Harbor. And I said, you want to take this for a spin, Dad? To get him on that bike was a little nerve-wracking because he was not as steady, needless to say, as he used to be.
Sure.
I expected him to go around the block, and 10 minutes later, he's not back. And I'm like, oh, my God, this
uh-oh.
Guy.
He's gone. He's whatever. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I just killed my father. He's on the side of the road in a pool of blood.
Yeah.
And a couple minutes later, I see him coming down the street, biggest smile on his face. He probably was able to ride that bike from May till August. I did not get a chance to ride that bike for 4 months.
Honest to God,
it did not leave his side. He rode pretty much every day. And I got to be honest with you, I think towards the end, I'm not sure he did anything but throttle, but...
But he was out there. He was alive. He was in the world. He wasn't inside as so many are as they get advanced or get ill. Yeah, I've lost both of my parents. So those last months are awful because they're just bedridden or they're inside or depressed or all of that. Yeah.
So I think for him, it was kind of like the last real normal thing, right?
Yeah.
Like the last thing that he could capture. Like his life.
He was alive.
Outside of that, it was just being on the couch or in bed.
Yeah. He was alive. He was out in the world. He was exploring. He was experiencing. He was there. He wasn't trapped inside. Well, what a wonderful story. Yeah.
So So I, in every store that I have, well, you know, all the stores have big windows, you know, display windows.
Sure.
So I have put screens on, like screens of Pedego pictures on all the windows. And in every store, one of the pictures is a picture of my dad on his Pedego bike. So
yeah,
that's my, you know how Notre Dame, that's like, you know, play like a champion today when they walk out of the stadium. They tap that. That's like, you know, that's, I tap that every day when I walk into a store.
I'm a good Irish Catholic, very familiar with the Notre Dame. Been down there, you know, the whole Rudy story and all that stuff. Watch that movie. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Have you been to South Bend? I mean, I know we're getting off the subject, but I'm just unbelievable, isn't it?
Take our listeners down a rabbit hole for a second. I'm a good Irish Catholic, so that's the only place I ever dreamed of going. And in the 70s, I was accepted to go to Notre Dame and ended up turning it down because I went down there in the middle of winter and I said, this is not too much of a fun place. I said to the guys, this is when it was still separated, guys and girls. I said, what do you do in the winter? And they said, well, grades go up. I said, I don't know. So I went to the University of Michigan instead, which was closer to home, a little less money. My parents were thrilled. And I always wondered what it would have been like had I gone there. But,
wow, that's great. That's a crazy story.
Well, yours is a crazy story. After all these crazy businesses you did, and again, just to be clear, this isn't even a franchise. You were looking for something that was a traditional franchise. This is, it's a license, right? You just get a territory. And so they help you and support you, but it's not a traditional franchise like that.
No, not by any stretch. You're very independent in a lot of your planning and progressing. They certainly hand you a little bit of a play chart, but you got to decide whether you're going to run, pass, you know.
Right. They give you the playbook, but you got to decide what role you're going to play and what you're going to do. Do you like that, or would you prefer more of a franchise system? You know, traditional command and control. This is how we display the logo. This is where we do it. You get the secret sauce from us, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think if you had asked me that this time last year when I opened up the first store, Cape May, I probably would have said I would prefer to have something a little bit more detailed.
Right.
But once you get through, you know, all the steps and you have that in your DNA, so to speak, you know, I'm glad that we have that independence to be able to
It gives you freedom. You're part of a family. You're part of a product line. One of the things that surprised me, whether it's a franchise, license, or whatever you want to call it, I'm surprised the number of major bike manufacturers, traditional bikes and e-bikes, that just sell to dealers who sell everything. Then somebody who sells everything, you don't know what they're going to push, whatever they like or whatever they get the best spiff on, I suppose, or something here. It isn't necessarily driven even by what's best for the customer. But if you're selling Pedego e-bikes, you got to be all in on the program here.
It's a little bit of a dilemma, even though we decided, like, you know, people come up in other types of e-bikes, and while you want to be inclusive and you want to get them, you obviously want to always try to satisfy your customer.
Sure.
Fact of the matter is if we politely just say, I'm sorry, this is not a Pedego. Like, we don't carry rat parts or all the different types of bikes.
No, nor should you. Right. Go back to the internet where you bought that bike. Yeah.
You know, how fair is it if a customer who's just buying a Pedego is seeing somebody else walk in with another bike and we're saying, oh, yeah, bring it to the back. We'll see what we can do. Wait a second. I'm paying a premium to own a Pedego, and you're still going to do that for the guy who just bought a bike online?
I think it's a question of fairness, but I think it's also a question of commitment. You know, if you had one store, I'd say, well, okay, he committed to the program. But you've now opened up multiple stores. You're on, whatever you said, 5 or 6 now here with hope to double this. So obviously, not just the model that they've put forth, which gives you some direction and yet a lot of freedom, but the fact that selling one good product really seems to be that's what they used to say about cars in the old days. I mean, my dad was a car guy. He worked for Chrysler, and he was always saying, well, I don't know why they let him sell 12 other kinds of cars. How can you really focus? How do you really understand the brand? How do you really believe in the brand and do everything you can get behind it if you got 12 other brands? The minute somebody, I'll sell you anything.
Agreed. I mean, the nice part about Pedego, too, is it's not that they're giving you one model to choose from.
No,
We have 18 different models, and they do it fabulous job with their accessories. So
can I go into McDonald's and get any sort of, can I get a Kentucky Fried Chicken and everything else? Occasionally they try those double franchise models. They never work because you've got to really believe in what you're doing. And I think you got to, you know, pick carefully and get behind it. And so I think that's, you know, I think that's part of the success of this, that you've got a dedicated group of people like yourself who obviously believe in the model of the business model and the product that you're peddling. You're peddling a bike I can pedal or get some assist on here.
I love it. I just love the bikes. I really do. And I love the best part of this job, hands down, is getting somebody on a bike for the first time.
Everybody says that.
I got one today, and he got to ride this bike. We have a little loop around the Lewis store, and he came around and just seeing his face. It's just a great feeling.
It's that feeling you saw in your dad's face when he came back. You thought in horror, what did I do? And suddenly you realized, oh my God, what did I do is right. I put a big smile on my old man's face here.
I gave up my bike for the summer because he's not giving it back.
Exactly. Well, if somebody wants to get on one of the bikes in anywhere around the Jersey Shores, tell us where you're at. Tell us how they get a hold of you. It started in Cape May. I got to go look up Cape May. I know that's part of the long Jersey Shore there, and the floods to the Jersey Shore when you're out east. That's the place to go.
Yes, that is the hot spot. Cape May is the southernmost tip in New Jersey, and that's why Lewis was a nice part. I actually take the ferry. The ferry crosses from Cape May over to Lewis, Delaware. So I'm heading back to Cape May here in a little bit. I'm taking the 4:15 ferry back.
We got to get you on it. I love ferry. I don't know why I'm like a little kid. I didn't grow up around ferries, but every time I've had the chance to see them, when you go mostly out east, or there's a couple out here, the Balboa Ferry and stuff, I'm like a little kid when I get on a ferry. I don't know why.
Yeah, there they are.
Something it amazing.
Even if it's
a 2-minute ride across the little river or something here, it's just something you're pulling away, and for a moment you're just suspended out there in the river. And most of the people, it's either a lot of cars on the ferry or bikes. Always. There's always a ton of bikes on the ferry.
There's typically 100 cars on these ferries and pretty much as many bikes and several hundred passengers. They tow a lot of people back and forth.
Yeah, they sure do. Well, I want to be conscious of getting you on the ferry in time. How do people find you? How do they find your main store, and how do they find your other stores?
So it's pedagocapemay.com is the main store. But all the other stores are Pedago with the last name, pedagolewis.com, pedagomaniunk.com, Pedago. Ocean City is actually OCNJ for New Jersey, because there is an Ocean City, Maryland.
Yes, right. I remember
that
too. Yeah.
PedagoLambertville.com. So all those.
All these little beach towns here. And then you're going to what? To Wildwood too or something? You're going to open
Wildwood, yeah. We'll have that all set up. And if anybody wants to reach out to me personally, it's RichB@PedagoCapeMay.com.
RichB@PedagoCapeMay.com. Well, I don't know when, with all the craziness, I'm going to find myself on the Jersey Shore again, but I have been there as a kid, and it's an amazing place. And it's kind of like one big Coney Island. It's just the whole world is there, and everybody's going by. And I don't know, half the time they're not looking at the ocean, they're looking at each other, it seems like.
Yeah, it's great people watching. There's no question about it.
Well, and I'm sure that those Pedago vans and buses and bikes, I thought I saw pictures of you with like a Pedago, I don't know if it's a bus or a van or other things as you move these things around. And
we have a Pedago Sprinter van at each store to cart our bikes all around. So yeah, we're
bring them around.
We're all geared up.
Bring them to you. Well, if nothing else, people, I'll have to make a trip to the shore one of these days back to my childhood, and I'll have to come by and rent one. I can get on one of these things. I don't have to buy one. I can just be a day tripper for the day, right?
We're going to put one on the side for you on the house, Paul.
I like that. I like that. Well, and I want to tip my hat to your dad and see his picture when I get there.
Thank you for bringing him up. That always brings back great memories.
Well,
thank you.
I get all choked up thinking about my dad here and what we all do trying to please those old men here, you know, and make them happy here.
They're the best, though.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. You're the best, and I look forward to much success as you move from 5 or 6 to twice that many. 100, maybe there's 100 more. Maybe they're all over there. You're up and down the whole East Coast here.
The gas tank isn't that full, my friend.
Okay, well.
If I get to 10, yeah, that'll be my finish line.
All right, well, we'll have you back on when you get there. Keep us along on the journey here. All right, thanks so much for joining us here.
No problem. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. The one reason you got to tune in each and every time here as we continue to ride along on the e-bike revolution. It's the Pedago Podcast. brought to you each week by the good folks at Pedego Electric Bikes. Tune in and ride along as we talk with the entrepreneurs behind this movement and the love stories of those just riding along. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.